Pregnancy can be a terrifying experience for new parents, but usually the terror is not related to the supernatural. Today we examine two films where the pregnancy is complicated by evil on this nurturing edition of Shriek Previews!
Your heart will seize with fear. Monsters creeping near. It's time to lend an ear to Shriek Previews.
So, Dan, you and I are both parents. We have both witnessed the miracle of childbirth.
Yeah.
And I understand that pregnancy, especially for a new mother, someone who hasn't been through it before, it's a weird thing. You know, her body is going through changes. Mm-hmm. She's got this thing growing inside her. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a horror movie in and of itself.
Yeah, it sucks vitamins from her. It changes her appearance.
Mm-hmm.
It totally messes with a woman.
Yeah. And now the father, we see her going through these things. And from the outside, she's still beautiful to us.
Mm-hmm.
She's still our wife. She's doing this amazing thing of growing a person inside her. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's freaking out and making it into something bigger than it is, and she's totally hysterical, and we really wish they would calm down. However, if we tell them that they're being hysterical and they really need to calm down, it's going to be even more of a horror movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they will cut your throat in the middle of the night.
Yes. So we just kind of have to sit back and pretend that everything is fine, even though our partner has been replaced with a psychopath with a parasite inside them.
Yeah, but you know, things have, I think men also, to our credit, I think we have, modern males have made an effort to try to understand women when they're going through pregnancy, when compared to the 1930s, 40s, 50s, where the man really didn't understand what's going on, wasn't kind of involved as much in the pregnancy aspect, you know? And so I think we've made an effort to try to attempt to understand what they go through.
But just because we make an attempt to try to understand doesn't mean we're not wrong and doesn't mean we're not chewing too loudly and doing whatever it is we do that annoy them a whole lot.
At that point, existing annoys them.
How dare we exist?
How dare you breathe and exist? Please leave. You know, it's like,
yes, get me some ice cream and spaghetti sauce and then get out and don't come back for 9 months.
Yes.
Yeah. So
while they nest.
Right. So, yeah, that's the joy of childbirth. And to any mothers that might be listening to this, happy Mother's Day. A day late, but that's okay because Mother's Day was Sunday. But we're so glad you're here listening. We hope that you got through that horror of childbearing and childbirth. And now, hopefully, you're not trying to parent a different kind of monster.
I would not like to know what it's like to give birth.
No.
It looks so painful.
I don't want to do that at all. So I will take my male privilege there and thank my lucky stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my
and make wife, yourself scarce.
Yeah, make myself scarce, right. You know, my wife is a superhero, and
that's all you need to
That's all I need to say, yes. A veritable goddess had brought me two wonderful children.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Brent.
I'm Daniel.
We're the hosts of Shriek Previews, and today we are going to be talking about two movies that have to do with pregnancy and motherhood. We're going to be talking about Devil's Due and
Say it.
Huesera.
Wait. Say it again.
La Huesera.
Brent Allen, you got it.
Yes, the bone woman.
You used to say La Huesera. And now you say La Huesera.
La Huesera.
Brian Allen, you're practically a Mexican. Yeah. You know what? We need to give you a Mexican name. Brentavo Allende.
Yes.
From now on, you are known as Brentavo Allende.
And my Mexican heritage catchphrase will be, Yo quiero Taco Bell.
You had me. And then you lost.
It happens. All right. So if you haven't seen those movies yet, La Huesera or The Devil's Due, turn off this podcast. Go watch these movies. Have a few kids. And then come back and listen to the podcast.
So wait, you're saying to go have the kids for 9 months and then when the kid's born to come back and then listen to the podcast?
I mean, whatever works. I'm just going to let them do their thing like a good dad should. Let the mom do her thing and support her.
Let pregnant women lie and just sleep and don't disturb.
And gestate.
And gestate, yeah.
Yeah. Let them bake what is in the oven in peace.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to get angry emails this, but, you know, whatever. We'll just have Angel answer those because she's a mother, too, mm-hmm. so she can tell them to calm down and, you know, chill out. With
them. Yeah, in their language.
Right. Whatever language that is, yes. So I am going to start us off with Devil's Due. Going to try to keep it under a minute. Devil's Due from 2014. This is a found footage film about a newlywed couple that goes to Santo Domingo on their honeymoon. And they're lured by a sketchy cab driver into some shady dance club where they get really drunk and black out. And then cultists perform a ritual on them as picked up by their handy cam. Sam, the wife, is pregnant, but all kinds of weird stuff happens during the pregnancy, including the cult replacing her doctor and planting cameras all through the couple's house. Sam also occasionally goes weird and also has magic powers and attacks some kids and gives a priest a stroke. Things escalate and the cult cuts the baby out of Sam, killing her. They then take all of the cameras and Zach is framed for the chaos.
Oh, very good, with 12 seconds to spare.
Yeah, you know, this movie was interesting. Zach is played by Zach Gilford, who has been in several of Flim Flam Flanagan's projects. Mm-hmm. And the gal who plays Samantha, I swear I've seen her in something before. But
he has a familiar face. Yeah. I looked up her filmography. I couldn't figure out what I've seen her, but I know I've seen her.
Yeah. This movie was kind of a cross of Paranormal Activity and Hereditary, kind of felt like to me.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it felt a lot like one of the Paranormal Activity sequels, which weren't that great. And apparently the director of this, or his two directors, they were chosen for this because they had done some sort of similar found footage film for the original VHS anthology.
Do you know which one, though?
I don't know the exact one. I thought this movie had interesting ideas, but it worked too hard to justify being found footage.
Yeah.
For example, when Zach gets up in the middle of the night because Samantha isn't in bed, he immediately grabs a video camera and looks through the night sight rather than just turning on a light.
A lot of things I picked up on, like, I don't understand why he wouldn't just, dinner scene when the family's over and they're eating and they're eating and you can tell it's not after the meal because they have salads in their plate. And he's like going around with his like phone or camera. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it was. And then
you would think Samantha would at one point say, all right,
put it away,
Zach, put it away.
Just like in the original Paranormal Activity, the girlfriend's name, she's like, enough with the camera, put it away. Mm-hmm. But we never got that in this. And then the cultists apparently put so many cameras in to cover every room from multiple angles.
And they didn't find these across them in any way?
Makes no sense. The fact that these cameras that the cultists put in also apparently had full audio.
Yeah.
All of this was so that it would remain a found footage film. But I think it was just, it's stretched at certain times.
Yeah. I think this film would have worked better if it were a combination of found footage and narrative.
Yeah.
You know, and in some parts that were pivotal, you could have just the found footage, and in other parts, or for the most of the movie, you could have the narrative. I think it would work. It would have worked.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some films that pull it off that I've seen where they have a combination of both.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you still don't lose that flavor, that tone.
Right.
You know, that's what I wish I could have seen here. I thought it had an interesting opening with a DR.
Uh-huh.
I find it hard to believe that no one would object to Zach always shooting video.
Yeah.
That's the thing, the main thing. Or, you know, or like in the middle of the night, why not turn on a fucking light, man?
And then they're in a foreign country, and they let this sketchy cab driver take them
into these dark,
labyrinthine, you know, neighborhoods, into this dark basement and stuff, because he promised them a good time.
No.
I'm pretty sure that there would have been many warnings from people in tourism bureaus, don't go in sketchy neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you go to a country like the DR or, you know, something like that, you know, you can have the hotel bring a taxi to you that's legit and take you wherever you're going and bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to deal with, you know, the sketchy taxi drivers.
Right.
Of course, they were out and enjoying nightlife, but still it seemed kind of sketchy.
It's like, are you really this dumb?
This naive, yeah. I don't under the movie. I felt the movie is intriguing.
Yeah, it's an interesting
idea. I did find it was an interesting idea.
And then especially at the end when, you know, the end or mid-credit scene where the same taxi driver is now in Paris and, you know, scoping out another newlywed couple. You know, it brought it all together. It was very interesting there.
Yes. I don't understand also, though, how Zach found out where these people live, because he's like in his apartment. And then he hears something outside his porch. He goes out there. He sees the ash. No, later on, though, I believe, he goes out, sees something in, like, the bushes, but you don't see what. And then he runs out and sees a car take off.
Right.
But then later, he calls in his sister to watch Samantha while he goes after these people. How did he find out where they live? I didn't understand that.
He recognized that car from the old Anderson house. He had seen it parked there when his dog took off, remember?
I don't remember that
part. He was walking his dog and the dog takes off and he's like, no, come on. And the dog goes to the old Anderson house or whatever it is. And he saw that car there.
Ah, okay. That explains it. Because I knew there was like some kind of way to explain it, because they wouldn't have just done that. The filmmakers would have just like not explained that. Right. But I don't remember that scene where he's walking a dog.
Yeah.
At the end, I love the stuff, all the shit that's going on in the house at the end, you know, with Samantha and, all the shit, you know, but I felt it was a little too dark towards the end. And by that, I don't mean like dark tones of evil.
Right.
I mean, it was hard to see, you know, on top of that, you got the camera moving all over.
Yeah.
What did you think?
You know, like I said, an interesting concept. I like Zach Gilford. I thought it was just a little too derivative, very Rosemary's Baby-ish, obviously, but done kind of found footage. If I wanted to watch a found footage film, there are better iterations of this. Like, you know, Paranormal Activity, which is one of my favorites, or the original VHS anthology, or, you know, I didn't think this was unique or original enough.
It wasn't worth the effort. Yeah, it wasn't memorable.
Right. It was just, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't great.
And as far as evil pregnancies go, I'd rather see the original Rosemary's Baby. Yeah. Have you ever seen the original Rosemary's Baby?
It's been a long time.
Oh, God, that's a great film. Even today, I love that. If I ever run across it, I'll watch it, because it's got a great, it's got Mia Farrow, John Cassavetes, great. I think that movie still stands the test of time.
We should probably cover that at some point because it's such a classic.
Yeah, and the reason I bring it up is because I feel that when you involve pregnancies with a paranormal, it really makes a good mix if you can execute it right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, whether it's Satan's baby or whatever. I mean, we've seen that that done really well, and we've seen it done really poorly at times.
Yeah. This one came and went. I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, I didn't.
Until you brought it up. And I really was not impressed.
No, it was mediocre at best.
So Brentavo Allende, what am I thinking? What am I thinking?
You are thinking you gave this one 5 skulls.
Yeah, 5 skulls. Yeah. Yeah. I'd say that's fair. Good production, good idea, good concept, good actors.
Yeah.
And an interesting thing at the end with the like you said, the taxi driver now in Paris. And I love the touch of this is what I liked about this film, which got me thinking, was when they go back to see the doctor, the original doctor, Dr. Loud, I forget her name, yeah. Clovis, I forget her name, but now is replaced by a different doctor.
Right.
And he's kind of sinister.
Uh-huh.
And he's kind of like cryptic. I thought that was a good touch.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, that's why I said that the cultists, it doesn't come right out and say that he's with the cultists, but you can totally tell he's with the cultists.
But then it brought me in, into thinking, well, how did this guy get in that position? Is that the same people running the clinic? Did they not notice that there's different, the whole staff? It got me thinking, and I thought that was kind of cool, because you're like thinking, well, how big is this cult?
Yeah.
And I love cult movies.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, what's involved in all this? It was like, is this a big network of cult people,
I loved the scene with the priest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Just starts nosebleeding and stuff.
And then when he visits him, Zach visits him at the hospital. And he's like, I need you to get out now. And he starts yelling at him.
Yeah.
So, there were some good moments.
Five. Five, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking you gave this a 5. That's Spanish for 5.
And you are correct. You are correctatro. Correcto. You are correctamundo.
Stop. Stop.
Oh. 5.
Okay.
5 right. Scoliosos.
No. Oh,
chupacabras.
My God. Brent Allen, what's the Spanish word for skull?
Bonherio.
Oh, man. It's calavera.
Yes.
Oh, man. This is uphill all the way.
Chalupa.
Forget it.
Guacamole.
All right.
Yeah. So.
I'm cringing.
Roulet.
Let's not bring that up.
All right. Well, so we each gave it a 5.
Yeah.
A 5. Mm. So, watch it if you want to, but it's not one to rush out and check out. So,
yeah.
Before we move on, here's a quick word about how you can become a patron of the Shriek Previews podcast. Hey, horror fans. Shriek Previews has got a Patreon at patreon.com/shriekpreviews. And for just $4 a month, you can become a patron of our podcast and help Dan and I become a little less poor. We put money into this podcast with podcast hosting and streaming services and movie tickets and stuff. And it is a labor of love so that every week we can bring you quality content and reviews about horror movies. So if you could please find it in your heart to give us a little bit of money, we would greatly appreciate it. And hopefully it would save us from dying in a horrific manner. If you can't, then there's other ways you can support us by telling a friend or coworker about the Shriek Previews podcast. You can leave a 5-star review at your favorite podcast directory, or you can even take the link to this very episode and put it on the social media platform of your choice. These are all ways you can spread the love of Shriek Previews to others who may not be listeners yet. But it's better if you just give us money. So now, Dan, it's your turn to tell us about La Huesera. Did I do it right?
You did it okay. Yeah, okay. Better than you've done in previous episodes.
La Husera.
Oh, God. Anyway, so it's La Huesera, The Bone Woman, directed by Michelle Garza Cervera, Cerveza. Cerveza. Came out in 2022 about Valeria and Raul. And she gets pregnant and starts seeing apparitions and occurrences in and around her apartment. And she even sees like a neighbor woman jump out of the balcony. And she's all like, you know, mangled on the floor. And then she disappears. She gets her husband and he comes out and sees and she's gone.
Yeah.
So she sees all sorts of occurrences, even an apparition going into the apartment. She starts freaking out, not able to sleep, and seeing all the stuff. She goes, decides to ask an aunt to take her to a curandera, a witch doctor, who does some stuff to her and tries to rid her of this evil, but she can't. In the end, she leaves her family, leaves a baby with a husband, and for life with her ex lover.
Yeah.
Yeah, Octavia.
And that I don't know if she left them or if he told her, get the hell out because you're too psycho.
My impression was that she left.
Okay.
Because I felt that this is why. Because throughout the movie, she keeps coming back to Octavia. She even starts a relationship with her. It was my impression that that's a life that she truly wanted. Because she even said, Octavia tells her, you're not being true to yourself. You know you don't want this,
right?
You know, you're just playing a charade and you're not, you know, being what you want to be.
Yeah.
So that's what I got out of this, is that she finally came to her senses and said, you know what, this is not me. I have to go follow my dreams. And it seems to me like she left him to go be with Octavia. And she left the baby with which I don't see that happening.
No, not at all.
No.
Anyway. And see, here's the thing too, like, I'm not sure how much of the, you know, there's aspects of this movie that seem to suggest the supernatural involvement. However, I'm not sure if, you know, when my wife was pregnant, we would joke that there was such a thing called pregnancy brain. She would forget things or see things that weren't there, not like apparitions or whatever like that, but, you know, just like little things. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there was really a supernatural aspect to this, or it was just the hormones causing her essentially some mental illness. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it tries to suggest the supernatural, you know, her seeing the person jump and, you know, and later on sees her kind of like crawling down the hall. And then there's a part, I don't know if this, I had to watch this a couple times actually to catch it, but there's a part where the baby is crying. She ends up putting the baby in the refrigerator or whatever like that. But she leaves the room and we see the baby monitor, the little camera. Mm-hmm. And it looks like several sets of arms reach out and pick up the baby.
I saw that, yeah. So that's when she gets up and the baby's gone and she finds it in a fridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so again, these suggestions that maybe it's supernatural, but it's never really explained or overcome.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, she's constantly cracking her knuckles and stuff like that. Based on the trailer, I thought there was some sort of like her getting pregnant put some curse on her where like her bones are super brittle. And because she keeps having dreams and visions of bones breaking and stuff.
Yeah, I noticed that.
But it never actually happens. Mm-hmm.
So is it all in her mind?
I'm thinking
is this like a postpartum depression thing?
Yeah. Well, since most of it happens before the baby is born, I think it's
true.
Hormones, and then maybe, you know, goes into postpartum depression, things like that. It just
times 20 or whatever, you know, yeah. Just amplified.
I don't think it was well executed or explained, and the pacing, it was boring.
Oh God, I was so bored. You know what's the thing about for me this film is that at first I felt it had great tension at first, and then goes nowhere. It just dissipates.
Right. The most tension I experienced was like when the kids are being brats and she's babysitting and the one spills the water.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking she's pregnant and she's gonna slip on the water and hurt herself. Mm-hmm. Or there was a time when she was using the table saw.
And yes, there were moments of like impending doom that never happened.
Right. And those were the most tense parts of the whole movie.
Yeah, even when that neighbor lady was jumping off the balcony You know, it wasn't that tense. It was just interesting. You were kind of seeing what would happen. But I thought eventually it was going to come to nothing. It was just something in her head or, you know.
Because notice that the lady who jumped off the balcony, and there's a scene where she's like in the woods and she sees the like conglomeration of bodies, and all of them, none of them had faces.
Is that, well, throughout the movie, I noticed that there was protruding bones out of people.
Yeah.
Bone women, I imagine, you know, the title, but yeah, I just nothing really that you want to stick around for. It was so slow.
See, I was,
that by the time something interesting did happen, you didn't care.
Right. See, I was excited about this movie because, so little deep cut here, before this podcast existed, we were brainstorming titles for this. One of the titles that almost this became was called Crackly Bones.
Mm.
Because in all kinds of possession movies and everything like that, when somebody is possessed, like their bones crackle, they're like, you know.
Yeah, and contort in different mangles
and
shit.
And so it's going to be the Crackly Bones Horror Podcast.
Mm.
In hindsight.
Sounds like a snack.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, pass me a bag of, go to the gas station, bones. Give me some crackly bones.
Right. And pour me up a little cup of Keith David.
A little cup of Keith David on the rocks.
Right. But yeah, so I mean, I think Shriek Previews was a brilliant name for the podcast, and we've kept that one since. But, you know, I thought this was going to be the ultimate Crackly Bones movie. And it was just,
It was like flat soda.
Yeah, very, it was boring and just dragged. And I was like, come on, please, let something happen.
I know.
It
leaves you thinking, but why?
Right.
And nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because like in the trailer, you see the fire in the crib. And you're like, ooh, is it some sort of demon thing or whatever? Mm. No, she, I guess, put her cigarette in the crib or something like that. It was like,
it's just,
I'm, even after this movie, I don't know if there was actually anything supernatural about it or if it was just all in her head.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dan, I'm going to guess you gave this 2 skulls.
I gave it 3.
Did you give it 3?
Yeah, it's like you said, the greatest sin is pacing.
Yeah.
And you're so right. You're so right on that. It's just, ugh. It's especially when you get started with a good opening. Mm. And then it just like lets you go. You're like, so it's so off-putting.
Uh-huh.
And that's what this movie did to me.
Yeah.
And now I'm guessing you gave this 2?
2. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was, this
2,
is
2-3. The still a bad movie's a bad
movie. This is a bad movie. It's not, you know, gouge your eyes out before you watch this movie, but it's a, watching this movie may want you to gouge your eyes out.
Yeah, this gave me about the same level of, what's the word I'm looking for? Boredom, for lack of a better word, as that other movie that we reviewed not too long ago about the Indian girl.
It
bores you inside. It lives inside or something.
Yeah.
It gave me that sense of like the whole pace and just even from when I saw the trailer of the two movies, they both brought nothing special. They did not interest me at all. It just, you know, oh my God, this is just gonna, I have to watch it because I have to.
Yeah. This one's definitely a skip. Whereas Devil's Due was at least watchable.
Yeah, at least Devil's Due was a little more interesting.
Yeah.
And it had, you know, had energy. It had energy. It had pace. One thing happened after another. First you're in the DR, then suddenly she's pregnant. Oh, now there's a priest, and now, oh my God, there's a cult. It kept you riveted.
Right.
This, in a way, this movie, maybe not a great, in a great manner, but it kept you interested. And this movie does not interest
This movie
you.
Was a great cure for insomnia.
Yeah.
Skip this one.
Yeah, definitely skip this one.
So now we're going to watch a trailer, as we often do. This one I'm looking forward to just because it's Nicolas Cage, so we always know his movies are going to be a little quirky. So I will leave the link to that trailer in the show notes, and so listeners, you can watch it as well, and then come back and listen to us talk about the trailer for Long Legs. Dan, what do you think of that?
I can't wait. This looks intriguing. Very little dialogue. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And the editing. And I want to know what that whole person shrouded in black is all about. Yeah, I want to see this. I want to see this real bad.
Based on what we saw, this all, you know, because it looks like there's something with like a killer and the police investigating and stuff like that. But the general tone, this almost looks like Silence of the Lambs if it was done by A24.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, pretty much.
It's got a very raw quality to it.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I think it looks very interesting. And based on just what I saw, because we know Nicolas Cage is in it,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't get a good glimpse of him. I'm wondering if he's the killer.
Yeah, you know, I think it might very well be, or he has a bit part. Maybe yeah. he's just there to sell the film. But
maybe,
but for what I the feel that I get is that he's a killer because you didn't see him a lot.
Right.
Usually, if you know the hero who's this, resolving the mystery or the cause of the fuckery is usually shown a lot in trailers.
Yeah,
but they held back on that, so I'm thinking he's maybe either they're gonna tease us with like a little cameo, or you know, he'll be like a heavy.
Right. Well, I guess
it's coming out, what, July?
July, I believe. It's this summer at some point, yeah. So, all right. So, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it, you coming in every single week and listening to us babble about horror films. Please reach out to us at shriekpreviews@gmail.com. You can touch base with us on Instagram at Shriek Previews Podcast. We also have a TikTok channel, which is Shriek Previews. Thanks so much for listening. We will talk at you next week.